want to take a few moments this morning and talk about life being a journey. I just really felt that that's what God was putting in my heart this week. The idea, we all know it, life is a journey. And I guess you could say life is a journey, and then it's every day is a battle. And sometimes it feels like that. Every day is a battle. Every day is a struggle. And I thought to myself, Lord, why are we thinking about journey? What's the importance of that? And I just felt that the Lord was saying that although we know that when we come to Jesus and we ask him into our hearts, that we don't believe that everything's going to be smooth sailing, there's still an expectation in our hearts, I believe, that when things don't go right, we're like, God, I can't believe you'd let that happen to me. I can't believe I've had to go through that. Lord, this can't be right. And I just felt like this week as I was praying that there was people, and there has been people in the past, and there will be people in the future who love the Lord, who know God, but just when the journey starts to get really tough, they absolutely start to question their faith, and I believe that's absolutely normal. But just coming to a place of like, I can't do God anymore. I'd rather just go alone with God, or without God. I'd rather go alone without God. And I thought to myself this week, I thought about the idea of a journey, and I thought, imagine the alternative of doing the journey of life without the Lord. And yet that's the place that sometimes our thinking can get us to, that almost the enemy can get us to, that you'd probably be better without God. And we're going to look at a group of people this morning, the Israelites, and they came very quickly to that point. I think they'd left their slavery about a month, and they said, oh, it would be far better if we weren't with God anymore. We'd be far better back in slavery. And I think this is the trick of life, and this is the trick of the journey, that if we're not mindful, if we're not wary, we're going to look at it this morning, that if we're not careful or not equipped with in our spirit and in our hearts, that when the trials come, we start to question, I wonder where God is in this. I wonder where God is in this. Instead of saying, I have to stick close to God. I have to stick close to Jesus. He is the one that is going to bring me through. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, and I hope that it's going to encourage us. I believe this morning as we go through journeys, we're going to see various different things in our life. Maybe in your life you've been going through a series of smaller journeys, but ultimately you know you're going to a bigger journey, which is hopefully to be with Jesus forever in heaven. But you're on a path of smaller journeys. And I believe that as we go on these journeys, there's so much to learn. And I think you've already discovered that in your own life, that the job is not always to get to point B if you've started at A. It's to see what God is going to reveal in us as we go through. And I think a lot of the times the tests and the trials that come along are there to reveal the weaknesses in us, but then to allow God to repair and reshape and remold and equip us better so when we get to the destination, we're ready for the tasks at hand. And I believe that's why the journey can be so fantastic, or why it can be so exciting, because even when there are trials and there are temptations and there are obstacles along the way, God will prove his faithfulness, and God will test and increase and prove our character and our faithfulness and all the things that he needs to do inside of us. So when we get to the destination, we're better equipped and we're better ready to fulfill all the plans and purposes that God has got for us. I want us to pop up the first verse. It's Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. I chose this verse. I felt God was putting this verse in my heart because it speaks of going somewhere. It speaks of going on a journey, and this is what we're thinking about this morning. It speaks about going from one place to the next place, and maybe going from one day to the next day and trying to get to the next week or to the next month. But it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. So the Bible's making it very clear that there is a path that we're on. There is a journey that we're taking. And so to make your journey a bit better, strip out the things that you don't need. Just strip out the things that are going to hold you back. They're going to get you tired. Because this is not a short thing. This is going to be a long thing. Most occasions, most people are living a good, healthy, long life. And so the journey of life is a long process. It says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Sin has been the thing that's been weighing us down from the start. Sin has been the thing that separated us from God. And ultimately, that's why sin is so bad. Because it separates us from God. And God is the very person that we want. He's the very person that we need. And so this morning, God is saying, look, think about the sins that are in our lives. Don't let them sit there. Don't let them fester. Don't let them pull you down. Don't let them just destroy you. But especially that sin that so easily trips you up, start to think about it. Start to press into God about it. Start to pray about it and believe that God can remove it. And here's the key part at the end I want us to think about. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us run with endurance. I thought it's interesting that God would use the word endurance. You know, he could have said, let us run with joy. let us run with passion. And that was probably the first few things that I would think about and say, well, at least if you're going to do this journey, at least be passionate about it. At least be enthusiastic about it. At least be upbeat about it. But God is saying, no, let us run this race with endurance, because endurance is going to be the key that gets us through. Listen to what it says, the definition of endurance is. It says the ability to endure an unpleasant or difficult process. Who has been through some unpleasant or difficult processes? I'm sure all of us. Without giving way or without giving up. The ability to endure an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. This is what the Lord is saying this morning. He's saying you're going to go on a journey. And I hope and I believe and I trust that you'll make that journey with the Lord. But whatever journey you go on, whether with God or without God, you're going to need endurance for the race. Because the race of life and the experiences that you're going to face, you're going to need endurance. You're going to need that ability to keep on going when the tasks get difficult, when you're going through an unpleasant phase of your life, when you're going through the most difficult passage of your whole life, and it's maybe spanning into years instead of weeks or months. You know, who knows this morning that some of the difficult trials that we go through can last 10 years. We don't want to think that. We don't want to believe for that. But that's the way life can work sometimes. It's like we can go through a passage of our life or a season in our life, and it seems to last 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know what it might last, but God is saying this morning the key thing that we need is to let us run the race. Let us go through this journey with endurance. And this morning we're not talking about endurance that we're trying to work up in the gym or in a treadmill or any of those things, which are all positive and all good. But this morning I want to lift that off you. It's not an endurance that we're trying to discover within ourselves. It's an endurance that we have in God. And God will give us that strength. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So joy is important. But endurance is what's going to take us through. And it's an endurance that God has got and will place inside of us. I want to look this morning at just a few, three or four different points about a journey and encourage us on the journey. And you're on this journey right now, and whatever part you're on, hopefully it'll give you some encouragement and hopefully it'll give you some wisdom to keep on going and to stick in there. That's what endurance is all about when it comes to a journey. Well, I remember years ago, we ended up going on a journey. This is just a story from me, and then we're going to look at a story from God because this is way better. But this just give you a silly story of mine. We were going to Scotland one time. We were going up to northeast of Scotland. Nikki's dad was there. He was pastoring a church up there. And the guy said this, let's take Vibe on the road, and let's take Vibe to Scotland, and let's do Vibe in Scotland. Now, it wasn't that we thought we were suddenly becoming amazing and we're going to take over the world, although sometimes we do think that because we've got an amazing God. But it was because they were up there, and they says, hey, we don't have a youth going. We don't have any young adults going. What if you just came up for, like, not me personally, but what if the team came up for just like a one-off? It might kickstart something up here, and we might believe for God to do something similar to what he's doing here, that he might do it there. And so that's what we did. So a few of us guys just got in the Jeep. It was a guy called Mark Quinn. Got in his Jeep, took the trailer. We filled it up full of sand. We filled it up loads of equipment, and we started off on this massive, long journey to get to Scotland. And it was far. It was hours and hours and hours. Went in the boat and then traveled up 5-6 hours, whatever it was. But I noticed one thing that Mark did, because he's full of wisdom, unlike me. He had a trailer, but attached to the trailer, he had 3 spare tires. Now, maybe Mark knew something that I didn't know at this point, but just the way that he drives and the way that he takes a few chances, some tires start to blow, and so we were going to need them later on. But this is part of the journey, and I thought to myself, life's journey is full of flat tires. It's just absolutely full of flat tires or flat wheels. Because if you've had a car for any length of time, the chances are you've had a flat tire. And they're a nuisance, and they're a pain, but very often do you ever stop and go, right, stuff it, I'm getting rid of this car. Never again am I going to have a flat tire. I'm selling that car up. It's just one of those times you just say, look, I'm either going to fix it myself, or I'm going to phone somebody, or I'm going to get some, but I'm going to get this car back in the road because I've got somewhere to be. And I think it's a great, just a great example to remind ourselves of, because there's sometimes we get flat tires along the way of life's journey, and it almost makes us want to give up. It almost makes us want to quit. But you know in your heart and in your life, a flat tire, it is a nuisance, but it's probably not a thing that's going to cause you to quit, because you're aware of it and you know the solution to fix it, and you know that it's a bit of a pain, but within 30 minutes or whatever, you're going to be back on the road and you're going to keep going. But we went right up to Scotland. We had a great time. We had a great meeting. A load of people showed up, and we had a great time. And then we started to make the journey back home. And we kind of underestimated the time it would take to go back down to the boat. And so we got stuck in a traffic jam for about 2 hours. And then Mark started to drive like crazy after that. And within about like the space of an hour, we must have blew every single tire that we had, apart from one, because we only had three spare tires. But we eventually got to the boat, and it was a nuisance and it was a pain. Do you know what? We got to the boat, and then you think to yourself, man, it couldn't get any worse than this. Come on, we're on a journey for God. We're doing things for God. It couldn't get any worse than this. We get to the boat. We miss the boat. We said to them, how much for the next boat? And they say, £250. You're like, what? £250? That's a lot of money. That's huge. So you're thinking, God, what? Where is God in all this? God, how can this make sense? But you know what it really exposed? What it really exposed was our weakness of time management, of being better prepared, about leaving earlier. You know, and it's, we got to be so like wise to what the enemy tries to make us think. Because although that's a silly example, that's a lot of the ways how the process can work out in our lives. But instead of getting to the point of, it was our fault, we should have left sooner, we get to the point of, God, how could you have let this happen? And we start to blame God, and we start to get angry with God, and we start to fall out with God, and before you know it, we're saying, God, forget it, I'm going my way, because I could do this journey better by myself. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that you're going to have flat tires along the way, but here's a thing to give you some hope inside of that story. We went and we saw one person got saved, and I believe that's what helped us keep perspective. Because we said, surely the £250 is worth it to see one person saved. Surely all those tires getting burst is worth it because we saw somebody saved. And here's the thing, even if we didn't see someone saved, because we're doing it for God, surely is it not worth it? Surely is it not worth it to keep on going? Because he is that good. Amen. We're going to move on and look at our first point of the children of Israel this morning. I want you to flick it up, Paul. It's in Exodus 16:2. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at it. And if you don't, you can read it off the screen, so don't worry. Here's the children of Israel. And they're going through a tough season of their life. They are in a big journey. They're in an incredible journey. They've been in slavery, I think it's for 400 years. Moses has come to him. We referred to them last week. Moses has come to him. He says, I'm going to set you free. And he, through the strength of God, brings them free. But you're going to see through the journey that they go on, it's about 40 years, they have a lot of ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs. And I believe this morning we can glean some good stuff that can help us in our life as we walk for God. So let's read Exodus 16 down to verse 4. It says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled. Now you have to remember, these guys have just come through the Red Sea. It's just been parted. They've just been set free from slavery. And just within, I think, a space of about a month, 30 days, 40 days, something like that, the whole community started to grumble. This is how quickly as Christians we can start to grumble. The whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you or for them. Here's the situation. The children of Israel, they've just been set free. They've had their biggest ever prayer ever answered to be set free, to not have to work for this, for Pharaoh, and work night and day and building all the time and just backbreaking work. It's punishment. It's just awful persecution. They have been set free, and then a few days later they're saying, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. I mean, sometimes we have to look at ourselves and go, what type of people are we? Because we can be so silly sometimes. We can grumble at the craziest points in our life. And I want to encourage us this morning that, you know, you can have wrong expectations. And here the people had wrong expectations because they thought, well, surely if God's taken us out of Egypt, it's going to be smooth sailing all the way to the promised land. Surely it's going to be dead easy for us to get from point A to point B. Surely if God's brought us through the Red Sea, it's all going to be easy from here on in. And of course, the Lord was providing, because it says the Lord rained down bread from heaven. I mean, I've seen a lot of rain, but I haven't seen much bread recently. I mean, I just haven't seen it in quite a while. And I still think, and I believe I'm blessed, and I hope that you believe that you're blessed. But here's a people that have been set free, coming through miracle after miracle, and God's continuing to do miracles. And it said right at the beginning, the whole community grumbled against the leaders, or the whole community started to grumble against Moses and Aaron, because it just wasn't comfy enough. It just wasn't good enough. They had a place in their heart that said, well, if God is so good, why could it all not be easy? Why could it all not be straightforward? We would just go through it. These are real life people, and they started to grumble. I think it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we as blessed people could get to a place where we would grumble. and grumble even after a great day of God doing something, or even grumble after God has given us all we ever wanted. Within a week or two, we start to grumble. But what can we learn this morning? We can learn this morning that they thought that God was going to make all perfect. They thought that God was going to turn everything around. They thought that God had set them free, and they cried out for it for so long, but it almost wasn't enough. But we're going to see in the journey that these people, I think it was about a million or two people, that were going to make, we're going to see what really God was doing was not only was he taking them out of Egypt and setting them free, but he wanted to set them free from Egypt itself inside of them. God said, I can easily take you physically from one place to the next, but part of every journey with God is to take you spiritually from one place to the next. And God said, you know, this morning I could take you, I think the journey was about 11 days. I could take you in 11 days from Egypt to the land of Canaan, to the land flowing with milk and honey, but you'd get there and you'd bring in just as many problems as you had back in Egypt. And God is saying this morning, I want you to be wise for the journey, because there's just as much spiritually that I have to do in you, if not more so, on that journey as you get to the destination. So I'm encouraging us this morning, don't have wrong expectations. Realize that God is doing a deep work inside of us, and it will be a work that will last forever and ever. They didn't really want to be back in Egypt. I don't believe that they really wanted to be back in Egypt. They just wanted life to become easier. They just thought, could it not be a bit easier, God? And that's a fine prayer. We can pray that at times, and we can say, God, could you make it a bit easier? But let's be wise for the things that God is doing too, because God is teaching us things, and he's growing us in ways that we've never, ever been grown before, because we're going through paths and directions that we've never, ever been before. So we're trusting God. They had pressure exposed. The pressure was being put on them. There was a pressure of, we don't have enough, God, here. You know, we need something to eat. We need you to provide for us. There was a pressure that was being pressed on the people as they were moving forward. And I believe as you go on any journey, whether it be this week, over the next few weeks, or over your lifetime, there's going to be pressures that are going to be put on us. And I believe the pressures is going to expose one central thing. It's going to expose our faith. The pressure is going to expose one central thing. How is our faith in God? How is our faith in God? How are we walking with God? Because as we're going through life's journeys and we're going through different obstacles and different trials, the pressure starts to mount and it starts to go through. I believe that God is saying, watch how I might expose your faith, not to make you feel bad or not to make you feel wrong, but to then say, hopefully, you'll press in and that I'll receive you even more and say, look, I know you've been doing really well, but there's a deeper place I need to bring you. I need to grow you in the faith. I need to release more faith into your life. I need you to trust me more. And I believe this morning this was one of the main things that the children of Israel had to learn as they left Egypt, as they got ready to come to the promised land. God was saying, you need to learn to trust me. Because you've had years and years and years of thinking, where is God in all this? Where is God in all this situation? Where is God in all these 300 or 400 years? Where has God been? And God has been there, but there's different forces at work, there's different things, there's a time and there's a place. And so God knew on the journey from one place to the next place, I've got to teach these guys to trust me again. I've got to increase their faith. I've got to make sure that they really know how to trust me. And I believe this morning it's such a simple thing. Do you trust God? Do you believe in God? Do you have faith in God? And we'll all say absolutely yes. But there's trials and there's times in our life that come, and then we start to question, wow, I've had faith before, but this is really big. This is really big. And I want us to look at these people this morning and maybe learn from either not their ways or from their ways. But one thing that they didn't have at that particular time in their life was a complete surrender or a complete trust in God. And I want to encourage us this morning that even when you're going through the deepest, darkest valley, and even when you're going through the most difficult time in your life and the pressure is really starting to press on you, know that if we will just keep our faith in God, if we will keep trusting God, he will bring us through. Because remember, it said at the beginning, we looked at in Hebrews 12:1, if we have endurance is sticking in when everything else is falling apart. We need endurance for the race of life. And God's saying, I will help you in that endurance. I will keep you going in that endurance. But if you quit, or if you turn around and you start to come against me, or you start to lose your faith, it's impossible for me to work, because I can only work in an atmosphere of faith. So this morning, make sure our faith is strong. And if it's not strong, then press into Jesus and keep on trusting him, even when it doesn't make sense. How does our faith handle? How does our faith cope when the pressure starts to get stronger and stronger? And I believe the Lord is saying for us this morning, let's press into Him, because there's greater days coming, there's greater opportunities coming, there's bigger things coming along the way, and the pressure's going to increase. But if you will learn to find me now in this place, you'll have the recipe for success in the future. Fourth thing this morning, and then I'm going to say one other quick thing, and then we'll be done, is patience. The children of Israel came in Exodus 32:1, how you want to put it. Then it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain. Moses had went up the mountain to spend time with God. He was going up, Ten Commandments, spending time with God, getting to know God, getting to know the next instructions for the next season as God would lead these people through the wilderness. It says, then the people saw that Moses was taking too long and that he hadn't come down the mountain. So they gathered around Aaron and they said, come make us a God who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out from Egypt, we don't even know where he is. We don't even know what's happened to him. We're just freaking out. It's like, where did that Moses boy go? What are we going to do? And the scary thing is that the place where you can go to from here to there is scary. How quickly you can move from one place to this place along your journey. So you've got a journey from here to over there. But as we said before, along that, you've different decisions to make. There's different places you're going to be in. There's different positions you're going to take as you go for the journey. And here's a people that have seen so much. They've grumbled before, and then God provided for them. He said they were the next chapter after 16 before. The next chapter said they needed water, so God told Moses, strike a rock, and out came water from a rock. I mean, it was amazing. They're just seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. And now it says that Moses had went away for just a long time, and they thought, well, we don't know where he is, and we need a God to worship. What are we going to do? And so they come up with the craziest idea that they're going to build a golden calf. That they're just going to replace God. They're going to create their own God. And I think this morning that as we go on life's journey, let's be careful that we don't lose sight of who our God is. And even when he's maybe distant for a time, we don't need to replace him. He's still there, but he's teaching something within us. He's increasing us. He's doing something within our spirit. We're wiser for that. We're not going to build golden calves. We're not going to melt down things that are precious and build something else. We don't need to create a God who always fits our mold. We don't need to create a God who's always there for us. Our God is always there for us. We just need to know and stand a lot of the times on the promises that God has given us. We need to trust him. It comes back to trust. It comes back to faith. But the people started to make an idol. It says, we need a God who cares more for us. We need a God who cares more for us because our God leaves us at times. Our God forgets about us at times. That's a lie of the enemy. Our God never forgets us. Our God has known us way before time ever began. Our God knew us before our parents even knew us. That's how much our God knows us. He knows every single thing about you. And so even when you're going through the trials and the tough times and the seasons where it's like, where is God in this? He is still there, but he's doing a work inside of your heart. Keep trusting him. They said, we need a God who cares for us. We need a God that we can see. We need a God who's right in front of us. We need a God who just, in other words, we need to be the God, and he just needs to serve us. He just needs to serve us. And I think as people, as Christians, we never want to get to a place where we're asking God to serve us instead of us serving God. Because I believe this is the place where these people have got themselves to. And I know what you're thinking. It's like, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. We're not people like that anymore. But you can very quickly, in life seasons and life's journeys, when things are getting really difficult, before you know it, you start, God, why are you not serving me more? Why are you not here for me more? Why are you not listening better? Why are you not making things better? Why are you not bringing me breakfast in bed? You know, why are you not doing all these things for me? And God will bless us absolutely abundantly, but God knows exactly what we need in every season, at every moment, at every time. And so if you're in a great season at the moment and you're on a great part of your journey and everything's great, then I always try to do it for myself. I'm trying to say, God, put in truth, put in simple truth on my heart that will go so deep that even when the pressing comes in weeks and months to come, and when I'm pressed in on every side, that the only thing that's going to come out of me is God is faithful, God is true, God never fails, he'll never forget about me, he loves me, he's there for me, that kind of truth. And I believe this morning if we will put that kind of truth in a heart, it will not matter how much we're tested, it will not matter how much we're squeezed, all that will come out of us is that God loves me. That's all that will come out. And so this morning I encourage you to write those promises, write those good things on your heart. The people said, we need a God who's easy to obey or to ignore. We need a God who will just do what we want. But God said, I am a God who wants you to do what I want. I am a God who needs you to worship me. I am a God who needs you to serve me, but not for your detriment, but for your good. That's what the Lord is saying this morning. says 32:3. It says, so all the people took off the earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, casting the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are the gods of Israel who brought us up out of Egypt. Can you believe these people? They made their own god and they said, no, these are the gods that brought us out of Israel. These are the gods that we're going to worship now. And I want to encourage us this morning, never get to that place of where, like, I'm turning my back on God and I'm just going to do it my way. I'm just going to have my idols here and there. My fitness is going to be it, what I'm going to concentrate on now. My job's going to be it. My car is going to be it. Whatever's going to be it. But never forget who has brought you to this place. Never forget who has saved you. Never forget who has set you free. You can build all the golden calves that you like, but it will never have the power to set you free from your past, your present, and your future. It will never have the power to set you free from sin. It will never give you the desires and the dreams that you want, although it may seem that it could possibly do something like that because of the season you're in. Only God saves. Only God sets free. Only God can bring us forward. We need to make our God, we need to know who our God is, and we need to keep him in his rightful place. And then the final thing is, and then we're going to be done. And this is the saddest part about the journey for these people. The saddest part about this journey was that they had come so far, but the damage was already done. This was a journey that should only have taken, at the best, maybe a year or two. Maybe God just needed to work some stuff out in their hearts. In fact, God gave them an opportunity one time. He said, I want you to spend 3 days at this point. I want you to deal with your past, and then I want you to come before me and just lay it all down, and you'll get totally set free. You'll be totally set free, because our God can do that. But they decided, no, they wanted to keep on going. They wanted to keep walking in circles. They wanted to keep on going. And the saddest thing of the whole journey is this, is that although they kept following God, although they kept making steps forward, and maybe at times they weren't following, and maybe other times they were, the damage was already being done. Because it says when they got to the land of Canaan that there was a whole generation that died along the way. There was a whole generation that were lost along the way. It took 40 years in a journey that realistically should only have taken maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a couple of months, maybe a year at the most. But instead it took 40 years. It says that Moses at this time was an old man. He was an old man. And now a whole generation that had hoped and dreamed of getting to a land flowing with milk and honey, they never, ever made it. And I want to encourage us this morning that whenever we're going through the journey, remember who we're journeying for, remember where we're looking to get to, and keep our eyes on the prize. Paul said in the other verse of Hebrews 12:1 and another portion of scripture in the New Testament, he says there's some people that are running the race, and then there's other people that are running the race to win. And I think this morning it's not about winners and losers, but the point that I believe that Paul was trying to make was that there's some people that are running this race and trying to live a good life, and trying to do good things, and trying to be kind to people. And then there's other people that are doing those, but have got their focus on the prize, which is Jesus. They've said, that's who I'm running for. They've said, that's who I'm winning for. That's who's my success. That's who I'm laying my life down for. And I'm running to win this race for Jesus because my eyes are fixed on him. They got to the promised land, but a whole generation had died out along the way. They got lost on the journey. And so my final point this morning before we're going to pray is, don't allow the journey to consume you. Don't allow the journey to destroy you. But instead, get consumed with the Lord. Get consumed with Jesus. Allow him to bring you through. Allow him to bring you over. Allow him to bring you under. Allow him to fix whatever needs to be fixed in your life. Allow him to take away all the issues. Allow him to take the Egypt out of you. Allow him to take the sins out of you. Don't try to keep a hold of those things that would so easily ensnare us, it says. That would try to hold us down. That would try to slow us down. And would ultimately try to stop us in the race. Because the devil's dream is that he's going to destroy you on the journey. He's going to destroy you on the journey. God's dream is that you're going to fulfill every vision, every dream, every plan. And you're going to reach the destination successfully. And so this morning as we pray, let's get consumed with Jesus. Let's not allow the journey to consume us. And if you're in a place of you just feel like, wow, this it is feeling like it's pressing on me, let's stand in a moment and let's believe together for freedom. Let's believe together, because here's the great news in all of those things that we've seen those people go through, the Israelites, and there was many more examples we could have looked at this morning. God was still always there for them. God was still always providing a way back for them. God was still always giving them opportunity to pray and ask for forgiveness. God was always giving them an opportunity to say, will you surrender to me afresh again? He never gave up on them. He kept on going for them. He kept on believing for them. And so this morning, whatever mistakes we have made or whatever mistakes we are making, God is still here and he's still there and he's still believing for you and he's still wanting to respond to you if we will respond to him. Let's stand again and we're going to finish out with a song. Our journey this